chapter 6 questions relating to the last 6 houses, Indiana Horary Astrology. A great variety of questions belong to the 7th house, for in every question in which someone else is inquired about, unless he quite definitely belongs to one of the other houses, or unless it is a public interest question, as was explained in lesson number 90, this person is signified by the 7th. Thus, in general, the 7th ever represents the other person, the one about whom the current is concerned. 7th house questions. Questions relating to some person not definitely denoted by one of the other houses belong to the 7th house. A common 7th house question is, should I marry? In a horary question regarding marriage, even as in natal astrology, there are 3 distinct factors to be considered: 1. The general fortune or misfortune brought by association with the opposite sex. This is determined in the chart of a man by the strength and aspects of the moon. In the chart of a woman it is determined by the strength and aspects of the sun. 2. The general success in all affectional matters, as well as in love and marriage, including those with children and friends of both sexes. This is determined in the chart of either a man or woman by the strength and aspects of Venus. 3. The general success with partners, including business partnerships, domestic partnerships, and all other partnerships with either sex. This is indicated by the strength and aspects of the significators of the 7th. If the sun in a chart for a woman, or the moon in a chart for a man, is well aspected, it indicates general harmony with the opposite sex. But if the sun is afflicted in a chart for a woman, or the moon in a chart for a man, little harmony is shown through association with the opposite sex, either in or out of marriage. If Venus is well aspected and in a sign where essentially dignified, it indicates general success, where the affections are concerned, though not necessarily with the opposite sex. If Venus is weak by sign and severely afflicted, there is little success in any affectional matter, with the opposite sex or others, in marriage or out of it. If there is a benefic Jupiter or Venus in the 7th, not seriously afflicted, or if there is no planet in the 7th, and the ruler of its cusp is a benefic and unafflicted, it indicates there is much success, as a rule in partnerships, though not necessarily so in marriage. If there is a malefic Saturn or Mars in the 7th, afflicted, or if there is no planet in the 7th, and the ruler of the cusp of the 7th is a malefic much afflicted, it indicates there is little success in any kind of partnership, marriage included. Consider these 3 factors and weigh all the conflicting testimonies one against the other. If the majority of the influences are favorable, the querent should marry. If the majority of the testimonials are unfavorable, the querent should not marry. When the chart shows somewhat favorable for marriage, note the sun in a woman's chart and the moon in a man's chart. The first application of the sun or moon, as the case may be, denotes the first opportunity to marry, the second application by aspect, and so on. Therefore, if the first application of the sun in a woman's chart or the moon in a man's chart is to a good aspect of a benefic planet, the first opportunity should be grasped. But if the first application is evil and the second application is good, the first opportunity should be passed by, and the second one grasped, and so of other applications. Applications to semi-sextile, inconjunct, semi-square and sesquisquare lead to thoughts of marriage, but unless there are other strong testimonies these seldom bring marriage about. In noting the opportunities shown, only the aspects to which the sun or moon applies, before leaving the sign it is in should be considered, for the aspects made after it leaves the sign it is in relate to quite different conditions, which makes judgment very difficult. Now before passing to the next question, it should be clearly stated that the planet occupying the 7th, and the ruler of the cusp of the 7th, indicate by their nature and aspects, the kind of persons and the fortune with them, there is a tendency to attract in partnerships. But, subservient to this general partnership fortune, the planet to which the sun or moon, depending upon whether a woman or a man asks the question, makes application, more specifically describes the person and harmonious or inharmonious qualifications of the one there is opportunity to marry. Furthermore, the house occupied by the ruler of the cusp of the seventh indicates the conditions and circumstances under which the future husband or wife will be met. That is, if the ruler of the seventh is in the first, the future partner will come to the quirunt about some personal matter, etc. The question is frequently asked, shall I marry the person I have in mind? In such questions note, if the significator of the quirunt applies to the significator of the seventh, either by aspect, translation or collection of light. If such is the case, there is every reason to think they will marry, but if not, they will not marry. If this application between significators is good, it shows the marriage will take place without serious hindrance or trouble. If the application is evil, there will be much difficulty before it is brought about. Where the marriage is shown to be prevented, the person or condition that hinders it may be determined from the interfering planet or other condition in the chart that shows the matter will not reach completion. Such a question is purely one of partnership, and the prospective partner is signified by the rulers of the seventh and their aspects. Thus, if Neptune is the chief significator of the seventh, he is an idealist and dreamer; if Uranus, he is a crank or inventor; if Saturn, an elderly and serious person, and so on. Then the aspects to the significator of the seventh indicate whether the prospective husband or wife is fortunate or unfortunate, and the various tendencies, virtues and vices. If the significator of the seventh is in the first, it indicates the partner to be loves the quirunt more than the quirunt loves him. But if the ruler of the first is in the seventh, the quirunt loves the prospective partner more than he loves the quirunt. And if the chief significator of the quirunt is better dignified than the chief significator of the partner, it indicates the quirunt is a better station; but if the chief significator of the seventh is better dignified, judge that the prospective partner has the better social position. Another seventh house question is, where is my husband or wife from whom I am separated, and what is he or she doing? Judge the absent party to be in the direction from the quirunt denoted by the direction in the chart occupied by the ruler of the cusp of the seventh house. Judge that he is in an environment signified by the sign in which the chief significator of the seventh is found. Consider that he is most interested in those things denoted by the house in which the ruler of the cusp of the seventh is found, counting the seventh as his first, the eighth as his second, etc. The strongest aspect to he chief significator of the seventh shows what he is engaged in. Thus, if the strongest aspect is from Mars, he is in a dispute; if from Saturn, he is engaged in toil; if from Mercury, he is studying or raveling. In case of theft, the thief is shown by the seventh. Any direction in which he is hiding is shown by the direction in the chart of the ruler of the cusp of the seventh. The kind of a place where the thief is, and what he is doing, are determined as in the case of the absent husband. The place where he had hidden the stolen property, however, is denoted by the ruler of the cusp of the fourth, as explained in lesson number 90C, serial lesson key. It is sometimes asked, does my lover care for another than myself? The seventh house denotes the lover fifth, the love affair, and if the chief significator of the seventh is in close aspect to several planets, it indicates there are several affectional interests, or possible suitors. If these aspects are separating, it indicates that such interests are waning, and are largely interests of the past. But if these aspects are applying, they show interests that are maturing. aspects between the significators of the Quarant and the significators of the seventh indicate the interest between the Quarant and the lover, and if such aspects are stronger and better than other aspects to the chief significator of the seventh, it shows the lover cares more for the Quarant than for any other. If the chief significator of the seventh is an affixed sign, it indicates these affectional interests are enduring, but if in a movable sign, that they are transitory. The nature of the planets aspecting the chief significator of the seventh describes the nature of the various possible suitors, the sign in which found that suitor's general environment, and the aspects of the planet as virtues and vices, his leanings and tendencies. A very important question, whether asked about individuals, armies, or nations, is, will they fight? If there is any application by aspect, translation or collection of light, between the significators of the first and the significators of the seventh, there will be some decisive action, either through arbitration or combat. If this application is through good aspect, translation or collection of light, they will settle by arbitration, but if evil, they will fight. Contests, political elections and games, whenever there are two contending parties, the person, not a contender, who asks the question, steps to one side, and the moon is not considered his significator, nor is he given a place in the figure. On the contrary, the chart then set up is divided between the two contending factions, the six houses on the east side of the chart representing the first party, and the six houses on the west side of the chart representing the opposing party. In such a chart, the seventh house is the first house of the opposition, and the fourth house is the tenth house of the opposition. If, then, the planets on the east side of the chart show more strength, ability and luck than those on the west side, the first party will win the contest, but if the planets on the west side of the chart show more strength, ability and luck than those on the east side, the opposition will win. That is, the more powerful half of the chart represents the victor. The first thing, then, in deciding which side will triumph, is to determine which side is represented by the east side of the chart and which side by the west. Such a chart may be erected for the moment the contest begins, or it may be erected for the moment a hoary question is asked. If the chart is set up for the moment the contest begins, because he takes the initiative, the challenger is represented by the east side of the chart and his opponent by the west side. When there is a champion, it is customary for him not to issue challenges, but to accept or reject them. But regardless of who is champion, the person who issues the challenge is represented by the east half of the chart and the one who receives the challenge is represented by the west half of the chart. But in baseball games, football games, and college contests, there usually is no definite challenger in the sense that there is a champion who must defend his title. In such a contest, the home team, because it is more closely identified with the person asking the question, is represented by the east side of the chart, and the visiting team by the west side of the chart. Yet when there is no well-defined challenger and defender, or home team and visiting team, or where the contest is between political candidates, neither of whom already holds the coveted office, there is still a way by which the sides of the chart may be allocated. In such cases, the wording of the question should be closely noted. Then the first party mentioned, because the chief interest is in this party in the mind of the asker of the question, is represented by the east side of the chart, and the second mentioned party is represented by the west side of the chart. When only one side of a contest is mentioned, the other side is nevertheless implied. Thus, if it were asked, will Chicago win the ball game? Chicago would be represented by the east side of the chart and the unmentioned opposition would be represented by the west side of the chart. The weather, and the various other circumstances surrounding a game, are signified by the fifth house of the chart as erected. A contest is really a tenth house question, because the victory, or honor, or credit, belongs to the tenth house. But the first house, representing the contestant himself, is also very important as indicating his luck and personal prowess. Therefore, in judging the relative power of the two sides of the chart, pay particular attention to the first and tenth, where the first party is concerned, and to the seventh and fourth, where the opposition party is concerned, for the seventh is the first house of the opposition, and the fourth is the tenth, or honor house, of the opposition. Planets, except the malefics, on the east side of the chart, and particularly if in the first or tenth, favor the first party, but if on the west side of the chart, especially in the seventh or fourth opponent's honor, they favor the opponent. Yet if these planets are much afflicted, it detracts from their power to help. Malefics, or quite severely afflicted planets, on the east side of the chart, particularly if in the first or tenth, weaken the first party and show poor luck, but if on the west side of the chart, especially in the seventh or fourth opponent's honor, they show misfortune for the opponent. The personal prowess and the honor are thus considered as in the natal chart. But in addition to this, there should be given much weight to the control each party has over himself and his honor, and over his opponent and his opponent's honor. This principle is set forth in lesson number 88 C serial lesson Kia under the sixth step in judging any horoscope. It is important enough to be included as one of the seven outstanding steps in judging any figure, and is particularly significant in judging a contest. Thus, if the ruler of the first is in the first or tenth, or if the ruler of the tenth is in the tenth or first, it shows that the first party is master of his own personality and honor, but if the ruler of the first is in the seventh or fourth, or if the ruler of the tenth is in the seventh or fourth, it indicates that his opponent exercises an authority over him. Likewise, using the seventh as his opponent and the fourth as his opponent's honor, if the ruler of the seventh is in the seventh or fourth, or the ruler of the fourth is in the fourth or seventh, it shows that the opponent is master of his own personality and honor. But if the ruler of the seventh, or fourth is in the first or I0th, it indicates that the first party has an authority over either the personality or the honor of his opponent. That is, if the ruler of the personality or honor is found in the house that rules the personality or honor of the other, it gives the other power over them. And it is better to have these rulers on the side of the chart that they rule, as when they are on the side of the chart indicating the opponent, they lose their freedom. Thus, in all contests, it is important not merely to gauge the strength of each side of the chart against the other, but also to note whether, by house position, one side has authority over the personality or honor of the other. Furthermore, in a contest of short duration, such as an athletic contest, the turning points in the contest and the direction they take are often shown by planets carried by the diurnal rotation of the Earth to the conjunction of the first, tenth, seventh or fourth house cusp. A planet having more degrees in the zodiac than such cusp is carried to the conjunction of the cusp at the rate of about 4 minutes for each degree removed from the cusp. Thus, if the 10th shows Virgo 1 degree, and Saturn is in Virgo 16 degree in a prize fight, if it lasted 60 minutes, the challenger at that time would probably be knocked out. When, during a conflict, a malefic crosses the cusp of the 1st or 10th, the challenger, home team, a first party, is apt to have a difficult time, but if the malefic crosses the cusp of the 7th or 4th, the champion, visiting team, or second party, suffers reverses. But when a benefic crosses the cusp of the 1st or 10th, the tide of luck turns in favor of the challenger home team, or first party, and when a benefic crosses the cusp of the 7th or 4th, the element of luck is in favor of the champion, visiting team, or second party. When such aspects form often marks the victory of one and the defeat of the other of contending. Example chart number 9, page 96, was erected for September 20, 1920, 10:25 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, San Francisco, California, 37 and 47, 122 W26. This chart was sent to the Brotherhood of Light Astrology class in Los Angeles, and was judged by the class the following Monday evening. The question was, who will be elected President of the U.S., Senator Harding or Governor Cox? The east side of the chart, containing seven planets, represents Senator Harding. The west side of the chart, containing only the doubtful planets Uranus, Pluto and Neptune, represents Governor Cox, as he was the second person mentioned in the question. The east side of the chart, and therefore Harding, has much strength, but the west side having no benefits in it, nor Sun, Moon, nor Mercury, shows decided weakness. The ruler of the first in the first shows that Harding has authority over his own personality, but the ruler of the seventh in the 11th shows that Cox is somewhat under the power of Harding's friends. The ruler of the 10th is on the east side, and the ruler of the 4th is on the west side, but Jupiter, Saturn and the Sun in Harding's house of honor give it greater power than Uranus in the house of honor of Cox. The class, without hesitation, decided that Harding would be elected. Races the Brotherhood of Light endeavors to discourage gambling. Gambling encourages the pernicious trait of trying to gain something at the expense or loss to another, and panders to the weakness of desiring to have wealth without contributing valuable service to society in exchange for it. Gambling is decidedly unspiritual. Yet races are not different in some respects from wars, political contests, and other trials of strength and speed, which it is often decidedly to the advantage of society to be able to determine the outcome of in advance. That unspiritual people gamble on contests is just another illustration that whatever can be used for a good purpose can also be used for an evil one. I have no inclination to write a treatise on playing the races, but I will say, from my observation of the many very extensive systems that have, from time to time, been placed on the market, that Hoary astrology is the equal of any I have seen in the reliability of its results. When the interest becomes keenly centered on one particular horse, automobile, aeroplane, boat, or whatever is racing, so that the urge is strongly felt to know about this individual, the question may be asked, will this individual win the race? This individual, then, is represented by the east side of the chart, as erected for the time the question was asked, and the whole field against him is represented by the west side of the chart. The figure is then judged as above instructed for any contest. If the chart shows he will not win, at a later date the interest may be absorbed by another contestant, and the question asked about him, and another chart erected. But unless this urge is spontaneous, and not forced, it is better not to try to pick the winner, if the first one picked is shown to fail. Stock market and basic commodity market. Each stock and each commodity has an astrological ruler, and no doubt a system can be worked out by wish, through the aspects and movements of its ruler. The advances and recessions in price of the particular stock or commodity can be forecast. But any such attempt requires intensive and laborious research by a specially qualified person. And Hoary astrology gives greater reliability than most of the systems that can be purchased. When the impulse becomes unusually insistent to know whether or not a certain stock or commodity is a good buy, ask the Hoary question, will this stock or commodity, naming it, prove a good speculation? If there is a strong impulse to sell, ask, shall I sell this stock or commodity, naming it? In either case it becomes a fifth house question, which a chart erected for the time the question was asked should answer. The fifth house rules the stock or commodity, because it is a speculation. The first rules the person who asks the question, and the second rules the money that will be made or lost in the venture. Judgment is made accordingly. Eighth house questions. Questions about death, legacies and other people's money belong to the eighth house. In contemplating a business transaction or partnership, it is often advantageous to know whether or not some person has money. To determine this, the question may be asked, how much money has the person I have in mind? In this question, the seventh and its significators represent the person inquired about, and the significators of the eighth, his money. Then consider the nature of the significators of the eighth and each planet aspecting them. An evil aspect from Saturn to the significator of the eighth indicates he is poverty-stricken, a good aspect, that he is careful of what money he has. A good aspect from Venus shows he has money enough for comfort, a bad aspect, that he spends too much for finery and display. A good aspect from Mars indicates he is successful in making money, but that he spends it freely, a bad aspect, that he is spendthrift and always in need of money. A good aspect from Mercury indicates he makes money through his subordinates, a bad aspect, that he loses through ill-placed confidence in them. A good aspect from the Moon indicates he gains wealth by many small transactions, a bad aspect, that there are numerous little drains on his purse. A good aspect from the Sun indicates large financial gains, a bad aspect, that there are large losses. A good aspect from Jupiter shows great wealth, an evil aspect, that he uses poor judgment in handling such money as he has. An eighth house question of some importance to those who believe in spirit communion is, shall I act upon the advice of a certain alleged spirit? The eighth and its significators indicate the spirit, and he tenth third from the eighth his advice or message. If the eighth holds a malefic, or the ruler of the cusp of the eighth is seriously afflicted, the spirit has little power of any kind for good. In all questions relating to the dead and to seance rooms, if the eighth is seriously afflicted, no good will come to the querent from spirit entities. If the eighth is favorable, it shows a kindly interest upon the part of the spirit, but if seriously afflicted by Mercury or Saturn, it is a lying spirit, and if by Mars, it is a spirit who wishes ill. However kindly disposed the spirit is indicated to be, if the tenth is afflicted, it indicates his advice is poor and should not be followed. But if the eighth is not seriously afflicted, and the significator of the tenth receives good aspects and is unafflicted, the advice or message is true, and should be followed. A common eighth house question is, shall I receive the expected inheritance? The nature and amount of the inheritance are shown by the significators of the eighth. If there is an application by aspect, translation or collection of light between the significators of the first and the significators of the eighth, some inheritance will be received. If such application be benefic, the legacy will be received in full and without difficulty. But if the application is malefic, there will be much trouble, and unless some of the applications be good, only a part of the expected legacy will be received. Example chart number 10. Page 96, was erected for August 1, 1920, 4:30 p.m. Mountain Daylight Time, Denver, Colorado, 39 and 45, 104W59. The question asked was, shall I receive the legacy? Jupiter is chief significator of the querent. Jupiter is in the eighth, indicating concern about a legacy, and that the legacy has considerable influence in the querent's life. Five planets in the eighth indicate several possible legacies. The Moon, co-significator of both the querent and the eighth, indicates fluctuation in the relation of the querent to legacies, and separating from inconjunct Mercury, co-ruler of the seventh, and applied to conjunction Uranus in the third, indicates some determined effort on the part of a relative to secure the legacy, and that the news of this effort will come as a surprise to the Quirad. Leaving Uranus, the next aspects of the Moon are the trine to Pluto and it conjunct the Sun in the eighth, bringing the legacy into action, and then the Moon comes trine Mars in the house of friends, showing that friends will give advice and assistance in securing it. Immediately after this, the Moon applies to the opposition of Saturn in the house of law, and ruler of the house of money, indicating money spent by the Quirad trying to secure the legacy, and finally the Moon makes the inconjunct of Neptune in the 8th, indicating that expectations will not be fully realized. The Quirad, therefore, after a legal struggle and the expenditure of considerable money, will gain a part, but not all, of the legacy. 9th house questions in regard to advertising, publishing, foreign travel, legal matters and public opinion, belong to the 9th house. Lawsuits and lawyers are shown by the 7th, but when it is desired to know to what extent the court or the jury will be favorable or unfavorable to the Quirad, the significators of the 9th show their disposition. In a question of public opinion, the public is represented by the 7th, and their thoughts about the judgment and mental qualifications of the Quirad are shown by the 9th, while the material and professional honor of the Quirad is shown by the 10th. If, therefore, there is a good aspect between the significators of the 1st and 9th, the public will place great confidence in what the Quirad writes or says, but if such aspects are evil, his opinions will have little weight with the public. If the significators of the 9th are in fixed signs, it indicates such opinions will be lasting, but in movable signs, that they are transitory and soon forgotten. In a question of publishing, teaching, or lecturing, the greater the strength and the more good aspects received by the significators of the 9th, the more success is shown. The various aspects of the planets to the significators of the 9th show the kind of people who read the publication, or listen to the speech, if from Saturn, farmers and serious people, if from the Sun, people of station and authority, if from Jupiter, those of wealth, etc. The kind of aspect, in each case indicates, with what favor or otherwise they receive it. The opposition shows antagonism, the square indicates anger, etc. If there is no aspect between the significator of the 9th and the significator of the 1st, the author will receive little recognition. A publication also may be a great success from the standpoint of popularity, and yet bring the author little or no money. To determine if money will be made from the publication, the significators of the 2nd, as well as those of the 9th, should be considered. If there are good aspects between the significators of the 2nd and 9th, and the significators of the 9th are strong and well aspected, the publication will be a financial success. And if at the same time there is a good aspect between the significators of the 1st and 9th, or between the significators of the 9th and 10th honors, the publication will make the Quirad widely and favorably known. Example chart number 3, page 64, was erected for June 28, 1920, 12:23 p.m., Standard Time, Bloomington, Ill. The question was, shall I travel abroad and write for publication? Mars, chief significator of the Quirad, in a movable sign, is ruler of the house of money, and semisquare both Saturn and Moon. Venus, the co-significator of the Quirad, is in the house of foreign travel applying to trine Uranus, conjunction the Sun, and sextile Saturn. The Moon, also co-significator of the Quirad, is in the house of writing, separating from square Saturn, applying sextilusk, and trine Neptune in the 10th. Both 9th and 10th houses hold planets receiving good aspects, indicating success abroad. The planets in the 9th apply mostly to good aspects, showing success in publishing. The ruler of the second, somewhat afflicted, will bring considerable expenditure of money. The trine aspect of Uranus to the planets in the ninth will cause the publication to be read widely by the radical element, and, as Mercury, co-ruler of the ninth, is in conjunct Uranus, the influence of this radical element will result in considerable expansion. The inconjunct aspect of the Moon to the planets in the ninth, and trine Mercury, show the publication will be read by the common people, and by them favorably received. The sextile of Saturn to planets in the ninth indicates the publication will be read by farmers, and quite favorably received. The co-ruler of the ninth, Mercury in the tenth, well aspected, and the co-ruler of the tenth well aspected, while Mars is not strong by sign and applies to no good aspect, indicate the quirunt will gain much more in the way of reputation and influence by the venture than in actual cash. I judge the venture will be only slightly satisfactory from a financial point of view, but a decided success in gaining favorable publicity. Tenth house questions. Questions relating to honor, business and credit belong to the tenth house. A common tenth house question is, in what business should I engage? The significators of the tenth represent the business. Note what planet most strongly benefits the significators of the tenth, and choose business associations denoted by that planet. The ruler of the tenth shows the business the quirunt desires to follow, but if it is weak and afflicted, he should not choose his business, but the one signified by the planet most favorably aspecting the significators of the tenth, or most favorably aspecting the degree on the cusp of the tenth. Having determined the things with which in business he should associate, he should next select the best method to follow in the business, as suitable to his abilities, by noting the ruler of the first. If the ruler of the first is Pluto, it gives ability to handle groups and in mass production; if Neptune, psychic ability and dramatic talent; if Uranus, originality and oratory; if Saturn, agricultural and mining ability; if Jupiter, salesmanship and professional ability; if Mars, mechanical ability; if the Sun, ability to direct others; if Venus, artistic talent; if Mercury, ability in writing, and as an agent. He should then employ this kind of talent, shown by the ruler of the first, in following the kind of business whose associations are shown by the best planet aspecting the ruler of the tenth or cusp of the tenth. Thus, if the business associations are shown by the Moon, it signifies commerce, or dealing in liquids. And if at the same time Mars is ruler of the first, it indicates success through manufacturing liquids; but if Mercury is ruler of the first, it indicates success through an agency for liquid goods. One of the most important tenth house questions is, should I engage in the business I am contemplating? The contemplated business is indicated by the tenth. If the significator of the tenth is benefic and well aspected, it indicates the project is a good one. If the significator of the tenth is a malefic, or much afflicted, it indicates the project is a poor one. However meritorious the business is, if the significators of the first afflict the significators of the tenth, it will cause the quirunt much trouble, if he enters into it, and he will meet with opposition and obstacles. If the significators of the second afflict the significators of the tenth or the degree on the cusp of the tenth, or if the significators of the second afflict the significators of the quirunt, the business will prove a financial loss, even though there may be gain in other ways. If the business is shown to be a good one, and either the significators of the tenth or the significators of the quirunt are in good aspect to the significators of the second, it indicates the quirunt can make good money out of the business, and he should be advised to engage in it. In a question of fame or notoriety, if Pluto is the chief significator of the tenth, the quirunt will receive recognition from gangsters or welfare workers; if Neptune is significator of the tenth, from mystics and promoters, if Uranus, from cranks and inventors, if Saturn, from old and conservative people, if Jupiter, from people of wealth, if the Sun, from people of authority, if Mars, from soldiers, mechanics and surgeons, if Venus, from society people and artists, if Mercury, from writers, lecturers and young people, if the Moon, from the common people at large. If the significators of the tenth in such a question are well aspected, it indicates fame, but if afflicted, it indicates notoriety of an undesirable nature. Example chart number 11, page 96, was erected for November 22, 1922, 38 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Reno, Nevada, 39 and 32, 119W40. The question as asked was, should I engage in the business I contemplate? The moon is chief significator of the quadrant. The moon, common co-significator of the quadrant, in the first, shows the quadrant to be quite free to decide the matter without outside pressure. Mars, co-ruler of the first, in the tenth, shows the quadrant to be very anxious to enter some business, and to know about this one. Mars receives a trine aspect from Saturn in the house of work and as co-ruler of the tenth, indicating that the business would bring the quadrant much labor, and that he has ability to do the work in a proper manner. Mars, however, is square the usk, indicating that the quadrant would find the business an obstacle. Square means obstacle to his health and personal desires. The moon, chief significator of the quadrant, is separating from a favorable aspect to Neptune, and the inconjunct Jupiter and Mercury, and applying square to Mars, indicating that the quadrant has much more to lose by the business than to gain. Venus, ruler of the second, is weak by sign, and makes no strong, good aspects, showing that very little money would be made from the enterprise. He should not engage in it. 11th house questions. Questions relating to friends, hopes and wishes belong to the 11th house. A very common 11th house question is, shall I realize that for which I hope? In such a question, consider the significator of the 11th as the thing hoped for. If the significators of the quadrant apply by aspect, translation or collection of light to the significators of the 11th, the hoped-for thing will be realized. If no such application occurs, the hoped-for thing will not be realized. If the application formed is favorable, it signifies the thing hoped-for will be realized without much difficulty, but if the application is by evil aspect, it indicates that here will be hindrances and obstacles to overcome of the nature of the aspects, and that the matter will be but partially realized. The significators of the 11th, together with the house in which the ruler of the cusp of the 11th is found, indicate the nature of the thing hoped for. If the significators of the 11th are severely afflicted, it indicates that the thing hoped for, when gained, will prove an affliction, but if the significators of the 11th are well aspected and strong, it indicates that the thing hoped for, if gained, will be a great benefit. Another important 11th house question is, will the friendship of the person I have in mind prove beneficial? In such a question, the friend is indicated by the significator of the 11th. The friend's chief influence is denoted by the house in the chart, in which the ruler of the cusp of the 11th is found. The planets by which the friend is signified indicate his nature, and the aspects to the significators of the 11th, his virtues and vices. If the significators of the 11th are weak and much afflicted, he has not the ability to help the quadrant much. If the significators of the 11th are strong and well aspected, the friend has much ability to help the quadrant, if he but cares to do so. If the significators of the 11th are in good aspect to the significators of the quadrant, it indicates that the friend desires to favor the quadrant, and if there is favorable application by aspect, translation or collection of light between them, he will help the Quran. If there is an adverse application by aspect, translation or collection of light between these significators, it indicates that instead of being helped, the Quran will be injured by the friend. Example chart number 1, lesson number 86, was erected for January 2, 1920, 5:32 p.m. Standard Time, New York City. As an illustration, let us suppose it to represent a Hori question in which was asked, will the friend I have made benefit me? The moon, co-significator of the Quran, in the house of friends, indicates the Quran is much more interested in the friend than the friend is in the Quran. The moon is chief significator of the friend, and Venus his co-significator. Venus is in the fifth, indicating that the friend's chief influence over the Quran is in reference to the Quran's speculations, children and love affairs. Venus is in the sign of Scorpio, applying to a square of the unconventional planet, Uranus. The moon is separating from the opposition Venus and square Uranus, indicating some unpleasantness with a friend in the near past over children or affectional matters, which resulted in a separation from he friend. This separation had some adverse influence over a legacy, or over money expected from a partner. The moon applies to the sextal of the MC, indicating that the Quran should be concerned no further about the friendship, as nothing may be expected of it, but should instead devote his attention and energy to business matters. 12th house questions. Questions relating to psychic forces, secret enemies and imprisonment, belong to the 12th house. A common 12th house question is, will my enemy succeed in injuring me? If the ruler of the cusp of the 12th is in the first, it gives the Quran an advantage over his enemy, but if the ruler of the cusp of the first, or the moon, is in the 12th, it gives the private enemy the advantage. If there is no aspect between the significators of the 12th and the significators of the first, no injury is shown. If there are good aspects between the significators of the 12th and the significators of the first, efforts to injure will result in advantage to both rather than in injury to either. If the significators of the first are an evil aspect to the significators of the 12th, some injury is shown. If such aspects are separating, it shows the injury to be passed, but if applying by aspect, translation or collection of light, it is yet to come. If the significators of the first are stronger and better aspected than the significators of the 12th, the enemy will receive the greater injury, but if the significators of the 12th are stronger and better aspected than those of the first, the Quran will receive the greater damage. Example chart number 12, page 96, was erected for April 12. 1920. 3:00 a.m. Central Standard Time, Omaha, Nebraska, 41:15, 95W57. The question was, shall I be sent to prison? Uranus, ruler of the cusp of the first, in the first, indicates that the fate of the Quran, in large measure, depends upon his own conduct. The moon, co-significator of the Quran, is in the 12th, separating from sextal Venus and applying sextal MC, and to the square of Mars, ruler of the house of the courts. It then passes on, after some weak aspects, to the opposition of both Jupiter and Neptune. The trine of the chief significator of the first, Uranus, to Mars, ruler of the ninth, shows that the court and the jury will favor him. Yet the square of the moon to Mars indicates that he will not go entirely free, but will be convicted for a short term. He must go to prison, but the time served will be comparatively of short duration. Hori astrology's greatest usefulness. Hori astrology attains its most consistent value when used to supplement natal astrology. In motoring through the United States, it is customary to procure a map, which shows all the highways of importance. and thus also the natal chart and its progressed aspects afford a road map showing the important routes, and which it is best to take to avoid detours, washouts, and various kinds of difficulties. But the amount of detail which either such a motor map, or that furnished by the natal chart and progressed aspects affords, is limited. When the motorist needs to drive about some city, to be able to find the points of interest, or places of business he desires to visit, he needs a city map. Likewise, when there are details not revealed by the birth chart, and progressed aspects, which it is desirable to know, the astrologer needs Hori astrology. But to interpret Hori charts in the detail often desired, the astrologer should be as familiar as possible with the facts, which have been ascertained through statistical and other studies relating to natal astrology. For instance, if the first house question relates to how the health can be improved, he should base the information set forth in the book, Stellar Dietetics 1. To draw upon if the question relates to the vocation, he should be able to connect up the association most benefiting the 10th and the first house ability with the information set forth in How to Select a Hour of Print. See Course 21, Personal Alchemy, Lessons Number 221 to 225. 1. Vocation 22, based on the actual analysis of 3,000 charts of those following 30 different vocations. If the question relates to what will happen to the individual, he should be able to link up the significators of the first house with when and what events will happen. 3. Based on the progressed aspects in 2,000 birth charts, when 20 different types of events actually occurred. And if the question relates to the nature of an illness, he should be able to bring the information to bear based on the statistical analysis of the birth charts and progressed aspects of 100 persons at the time they had each disease. Now being collected and set forth in Body Disease and its Stellar Treatment 24. In other words, to use Hori astrology most effectively requires the widest possible scope of reliable astrological knowledge. 2, 3, 4 out of print. Much of the material referenced in this work has been incorporated into the 21 Brotherhood of Light course books. Ibid.